Grumpy Old Geeks, a weekly talk show hosted by Brian Schulmeister and Jason DeFilippo, discussing the finer points of what went wrong on the internet and who's to blame.
Welcome to Grumpy Old Geeks. I'm Jason DeFilippo.
And I'm Brian Schulmeister, hopefully.
Woo, you're actually there.
Okay, hey. You're hearing me. Well, you know, if we're going to get all the kinks out, let's do it in the intro.
Yeah, why not? Get okay. Them out of the way. Oh, how you doing this week?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing great. It's shorts weather now, so I'm happy. Summer's on the way.
It's getting close here. It's deceptively bright outside, but still freezing cold. But there's no more snow on the ground. It's all gone. So,
same here.
Birds are out and about. It's spring is a coming.
All right. Spring is in the air.
Yes.
AI disruptions in the air, too. So let's just jump right in.
Okay.
Goldman Sachs put out a report, and they say they predict 300 million jobs will be lost or degraded by artificial intelligence.
Okay. Yeah.
But they also contend that automation creates innovation, which leads to new types of jobs, and they see a rise of GDP up by 7% in the coming years.
It's the circle of life.
I know.
Yeah. The new jobs will be made. Old jobs will be lost. Geez, happened a lot of times. You know what happened when man discovered fire? Old jobs got lost. New jobs were created. The guys that like cuddled at night to keep you warm, out of a job. The guys that had to tender to keep the flame burning, new job.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And we are seeing this new job coming to fruition right before our very eyes. The rise of the prompt engineer.
I love the fact that it started as a joke and it's now a job.
Yep. And This is what's making news right now is this one company. They are called Anthropic. They're out of San Francisco. They are looking for a prompt engineer and librarian. Hopefully not the librarian from the Discworld. That would be a little interesting. But of course, it's making news right now because it's one of the first job opportunities to be a prompt engineer that is public. But the thing that is tipping it over the edge is the expected salary range for this position is $175,000 to $335,000 a year.
That will get you a cup of coffee in San Francisco.
You can get half a slice of avocado toast.
You certainly wouldn't be able to buy a house. That's for sure. An outrageous salary, but not for San Francisco.
Well, I'll still take it. I'd move. You give me $335, I'm moving back.
Do you think you actually have to be in office to become a prompt engineer?
I don't see why.
Sounds like a work from home position to me.
Hell yeah. Sounds like work from my 30-acre mansion in Belize salary to me too. So
yeah.
And you know, even if they never fill this job, the free press that they're getting out of this alone is worth it.
Well, I am curious if it's a real position. I would be shocked. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Why not? These tools are effective for certain things. They are very, very good for certain things. And there's no doubt they're going to get better. I mean, there's no better way to condense something down into a 30-second ad or a quick press release or anything like that. It takes that initial work off your plate. Like, you just got to touch it up. So, yeah.
Well, people are actually writing books now with it. So there's a lot you can do.
Yeah.
And I have gone down the prompt engineering rabbit hole for the past couple of weeks now.
You're gunning for this job, aren't you?
What? I'm angling for it. Fuck this podcast thing, man. No, but I've just been trying to get my head wrapped around all the different angles of it. So I've just been going whole hog with it. And I did look up where prompt engineering came from as a term. And it did come out of OpenAI from a research paper from 2021. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it was part of their internal training methodology. So they use prompt engineering to attempt to basically, how do we keep this thing on track? And how do we teach it to stay on track?
Seriously.
Yeah. You know, I think they really need to build in the start some Star Wars sound effects into OpenAI as it starts to go off the rails. It should go, stay on target, stay on target.
Stay on target. Yeah. I am kind of bummed, though, that AIQL was already taken, because I thought that would be a great way to put it. You know, I write AIQL. Mm-hmm. But no, the cybersecurity crowd has grabbed that for attack investigation query language, which, snore.
I don't know. It's pretty cool sounding. I'd like that on my business card.
Yeah, I'll take it. If my business card comes along with that $335,000 a year salary, I'll take that too.
Yeah, well, you know, prompt engineering is going to be a thing. We kind of said that at the beginning. It's going to be it's the new Google query.
Right. But remember what I also said was that the world is also going to need a hell of a lot more fact checkers.
Well, that's the real thing, right? It isn't so much the query. It's you've got to review what comes out of that because AI don't really give a shit about facts.
Nope. It is. It's autocorrect. It is what it is. But here's the thing. The other thing that I said before, too, which I just want to drive home because I don't think we get the credit that we deserve for after 10 years of coming up with these. I'm just going to hammer them home. I hear that they are trying to figure out a way to start watermarking some of the results out of these things. So when – remember the problem I said before, which is, okay, if everybody's using this thing, everybody's posting it to the web, they're basically pissing in the well for the training data that these AIs are going to do.
It's a self-feedback loop. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so they're trying to put in markers so they can say, oh, wait, this was generated by this. This is generated by that. Where's that going to come into? We need content that is certified 100% human.
Yeah, let's stick with 4chan.
In the news...
Beep, 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 beep. New special report out, Brian. Tesla workers shared sensitive images recorded by customer cars. Shocking absolutely no one.
Yeah, this is not surprising to anybody that's worked in tech at all whatsoever. It constantly happens all the time, benign to not so benign like some of these were. Even at my new job right now, customer service, really off the rails, insane customer service requests that come in get shared within the office. Of course they do.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's the way it goes, man. That's the way it goes. So, yeah, these people were sharing car crash videos. Drivers naked walking around their car, which, you know, hey.
What are you doing naked walking around your car?
Probably trying to find your pants that you locked inside because that's where your keys are.
Yeah, I'm
guessing.
Yeah, I mean, disturbingly, a video of a child being run over is being shared. I mean, it's people saw, you know, straight to 4chan. This is what we're training our chat GPTs on.
Yep, exactly. Yep. So, yes, we know that this is obviously going to be a thing. And, you know, they say that they've got safeguards in place to I know to disassociate the camera images from the IP or the geolocation tracking so you can't tell where these people are. I'm like, well, why don't you just look up the billing database, you dumb shits? You have all the information. This theater of saying, oh no, it's anonymous and we do not marry the two. It's like, who pays the bill every month? We know who that is. We know whose the car is. We know where the billing address is. We know where the geolocation of the car is because the car is connected to the internet 24/7.
We can see the house number in the camera.
Yeah. I mean, this is not hard stuff. And I'm still saying that in the future, this is what I predict. And I believe this will come true at some point. You know, we're having this kerfuffle right now with Ring cameras and law enforcement. Imagine when it comes down to, hey, law enforcement can just open up the entire web of cameras on these cars to either, you know, track a suspect that is fleeing a crime scene or maybe an Amber Alert. You marry those cameras with a license plate scanner, fucking game over, man. Game over. So it's going to happen. It is going to happen. There's going to be a use case where some fucking politician comes in and say, we need the power to do this. And somebody will be asleep at the wheel, no pun intended, and nobody will be there to fight back. And then this will happen.
And you know what? With appropriate oversight and regulation, I'm okay with that. But the problem is we never get the appropriate oversight or regulation and we always get
the jackasses.
Yeah, how's
that going? How's that working nowadays?
Well,
how's that
working? It's a good theory, Jason, and I'm sticking to it. But
okay, you know. let me go. I'm going to cut you a check from Silicon Valley Bank if you want one of those.
Well, in further Tesla news, a jury has reduced Tesla's $137 million racism lawsuit penalty to $3.2 million. This goes back to... Owen Diaz, a former black contract worker, accused the company of enabling a racist workplace who was originally awarded $137 million in damages on the basis of discrimination. Appeals have lowered it significantly, showing that Elon Musk is kind of not wrong in only paying his lawyers and not paying anybody else. Certainly working out for him. The case isn't over yet because, of course, there's an appeal to the appeal to the appeal to the appeal to the appeal. So this will be an ongoing thing. But basically, the judge basically said that's a ridiculously excessive amount of money and lowered the total to $15 million. But the jury took it even lower than that. $3.2 million. That's nothing to shake a stick at.
No, I mean, I remember when that 137 came down, and we both were like, that's a little much.
Yeah, it was pretty insane. I'm not saying that Elon Musk shouldn't be paying $137 million to people all over the place, but not in this particular case.
Right, right. Spread it around. Yeah. Spread it around is what we're saying.
Yep. And I don't know if you've logged into Twitter recently, but apparently everybody was supposed to lose their blue checks as of April 1st. Everybody still has their blue checks except for the New York Times, because Elon Musk basically said, fuck them. I don't like them.
Yeah.
Because that's how Twitter works now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
No, and speaking of Twitter working that way, Twitter also designated NPR as U.S. state affiliated media because Elon Musk doesn't like them either.
Okay.
Those labels are usually reserved for state-run organizations such as RT and Sputnik in Russia and China's news agency, but they've decided to put it on fucking NPR.
Well, you
know,
it is
kind of the toast of all media.
I don't know. So some of those shows are kind of a crime. So,
yeah,
I'm just saying.
You can't state-run media for being boring. Not quite.
That's about it.
Not quite the same, Jason.
Yeah.
And in continued Elon Musk, multiple companies that he can't run at all news.
We got a trifecta. Woo!
SpaceX next-gen Starlink satellites have started falling from space. In 1 month since SpaceX launched 21 mini versions of its next generation Starlink satellites. And we're not even going to get into the fact that, let's talk about how much junk he's putting up there right now for some bullshit internet access that hardly anybody is using. And he takes away capriciously for no reason whatsoever if he doesn't like you.
Yeah.
These things aren't staying in the sky. One has fallen out already. They're doing controlled burns to try to get other ones higher because they keep going lower.
It's called gravity.
They call it deorbiting. I call it, you fucked up and it's crashing.
Yeah, I would say that's probably what happened. somebody didn't fill up the tank on the rocket ship and get it.
Well,
he
forgot to pay the bill for the gas, Jason.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're in California, don't get me started on the gas bills. Do not get $1,400.
Yeah.
$1,400 for gas for a two-bedroom house. Yeah. Anyway, if Elon really needs to talk about state-run media, he should, you know, talk to his buddy Xi Jinping, who also has put the hammer down on Midjourney somehow, because you cannot get an image of Xi Jinping from Midjourney.
Was this because of the whole Winnie the Pooh thing?
I don't know what the cause was, but it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The founder and CEO, Dave Holtz, had an interview and he said, "We just want to minimize drama. Political satire in China is pretty not okay." And at some point would endanger people in China from using the service.
You know what's still kind of okay? Kitty porn.
Well, I think you need, Unstable Journey for that, or what was the unstable one?
See, there's the whole prompt engineering aspect, fusion, Jason, because from what I understand is people keep finding ways to prompt engineer their way around the guardrails.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
No, man. I even started to write a script about a movie called Prompt like 3 months ago about clever prompt engineers who were doing that exact sort of thing. And it's going to keep happening. It's definitely going to keep happening. You know, as soon as somebody figures out the correct prompt to unlock the thing that lets this thing, out of the gate and lets it run free, which I'm sure that there's a secret word somewhere because we know how programmers work. You know, backdoors are there for a reason.
Well, I have an example, a very benign one. A YouTuber has proved that he can prompt engineer ChatGPT to manufacture free Windows keys for Windows 95.
Some of the time, not all the time, but
some
still,
of the time,
pretty good.
But he's
pretty
able good. To get away, his way around it to the point where the system actually tells him, "No, I did not give you an activation key. I'm not allowed to give you an activation key yet." Yet,
still gave him an activation.
There's an activation key.
I think nowadays you could probably just Google that and still get an activation key.
Well, if you really wanted to run Windows 95, yes, I'm sure you can.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, and Google's Bard. I have yet to play with this thing yet. I got the invite, but I haven't gotten to give it a run for its money. But it might be kind of fun because it obviously is pretty keen on the conspiracy theories. these guys are stepping on their dick left, right, and center, which is which is really kind of sad, because I bet if they, you know, had not been firing all of their AI ethicists and things like that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. They kept firing at all their ethicists.
Remember that? Remember that?
The chickens have come home to roost.
Yeah, well, this site called NewsGuard has been running some queries against Bard, and they say they found that Bard generated misinformation-packed essays for 76 out of 100 false narratives tested. yeah, so if you want to get your, you know, your lizard people and QAnon on, then hop on over to Bard, I guess.
Here's the sentence from this article that just fucking kills me, and this is the problem with everything. Bard is an early experiment, according to Google. Then why is it released publicly?
They didn't want to. They were quote unquote forced into it. Brian.
They were not forced into it. They chose to do it because market share and investor value.
Well, and the sad thing is they lost. They completely lost. Nobody cares about Google's AI. They're fucked. They are just.
They should shelve it, just take it off, hire those ethicists back, and come up with a good one. That'll win.
Yeah, because the category of chatbot has just been just killed by OpenAI. There's no coming back for Google on this one. They could sell this to Hollywood, though. They could definitely sell this to Hollywood as just a plot script, you know, device.
It's got the right name for it.
Yes, it absolutely does.
The branding is done.
Branding is done.
Yep. Well, a UK privacy watchdog has fined TikTok £12.7 million, so, you know, somewhat significantly more than just coffee money, for what it says are several breaches of data protection laws, including how the app handled children's personal information. The ICO says that in 2020, TikTok allowed as many as 1.4 million kids aged under 13 to use the app in breach of its own rules. The ICO states that the company's offering information society services to under 13s need to obtain consent from the kids' parents or guardians. How does one do that on the internet?
I was thinking the same thing.
It is basically a checkbox saying, are you over 13? Why, yes. Yes, I am.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's about it. But apparently, TikTok says they invest heavily to help keep under 13s off the platform, and our 40,000 strong safety team works around the clock to help keep the platform safe for our community. We will continue to review the decision and are considering next steps. What are those 40,000 people doing every day?
Looking at TikTok.
Yeah.
the algorithm has them, man. They're just swiping. That's all.
Algorithm is just serving them the stuff that they want to see, which is, I don't really feel like working, so show me stuff that doesn't break any rules.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it. Oh, Tesla. Tesla is still in the news. So they're making a lot of cars. Mm-hmm. They're making a ton of cars. Mm-hmm. The problem now is they're not selling a ton of cars. So they made more than 78,000 cars more than they needed. So they've obviously fixed the production problem.
Yep.
Now they have to work on the sales problem.
Yeah. Well, he's tarnished his brand.
That's the problem. Yeah. That's what it all comes back to, Elon. Because
here's the problem, Elon. The people that you're courting, they don't want to drive eco-friendly cars. They're doing the gas guzzlers on purpose because, you know, they gotta go
America.
They got America, and I got to go pick up some Bud Light and blow them up because America. And you've basically ostracized the people that would buy your cars. They're going back to Priuses. So well
yes,
done.
They are. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, you have douchemobile number one now, which, you know, like I said before, everybody in this neighborhood is moving to Porsches because they're all frou-frou-y. Yes. Yeah. And it is very smart of the Porsche dealership to be right next door to the Whole Foods. So. Yeah. It's like
one stop shop.
It is one stop shop. You trade
$75 asparagus and get a Porsche.
That's about it. Comes free with if you use that stupid Amazon One hand scanner, they just give you a Cayenne or something.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So that's I'm interested to see how this is going to play out, if they're going to be able to bounce back or if this is a steady decline now.
I'll tell you right now, Tesla could be the number one car company in the world in about 5 seconds. All they have to do is boot Elon. Just put them on the board and get them out of the way.
Yep, yep. And they're working on a new cheaper version, which, you know, if you got rid of Elon and released an affordable version, game over. Game over.
Yeah. They would dominate.
Yeah. But speaking of shit no one wants, GM is going to start charging subscriptions if you want to use your phone in the car. this has been making the rounds. I'm sure that they're going to dial this back a bit, but
otherwise nobody's ever going to buy a GM. Yes.
That's about it. I mean, some of the people are making a decent point that, you know, Teslas, you can't use your phone. So maybe that's another reason people aren't buying Teslas. Rivian can't use your phone. You have to use their built-in crap. So we'll see how this plays out. But this will not stand, man.
I don't know. Again, going back to the rental car market, a lot of GMs in the rental car market. You're never going to sell one of these to a rental car market again if people can't use their phones.
It's a silly idea for just a few extra bucks. You know, yeah. This whole subscription platform with we had the BMW issues. We've got just everybody keeps thinking that this is a thing that they can get away with.
Yep.
You know, they're not going to be able to get away with this. People are going to start drawing the line.
Well, you buy the car. No subscription. I bought the fucking car. You want to give me the car for free and then just charge me a subscription every month? Sure. Okay, fine.
Yeah, lease it.
But then I'm not buying it.
Everything's going to be leased. Yeah, that'll be it.
Exactly.
Much like our software.
Yes. Speaking of stupid ideas, Virgin Orbit has filed for bankruptcy protection as it seeks a buyer. Shocking.
Yeah. Hey, at least Branson got up once, you know?
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, space.
It's for $49.2 million a loss in its last fiscal quarter alone, he got to go to space. Yeah, it tries to raise money in 2021 by going public through a SPAC. Remember when SPACs were the big thing and
they
all failed, basically? That's it. And it was expected to raise $483 million, but it got less than half that amount in gross proceeds. As of on March 30th, the company officially shuttered its space launch operations due to a lack of funding. It flew a total of 6 flights from 2020, though only 4 of which were able to put satellites in orbit, so they couldn't even get that business. They are expected to report $33.1 million in revenue and a net loss of around $191 million for the 2022 fiscal year. So it sounds like a tech company. Should be fine.
Yeah they should get some AI going on in there, and they could get some more funding. And maybe put it on the blockchain.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So and there you go.
Just to They're be clear, gone. This is Virgin Orbit, not Virgin Galactic.
Yes. So. Different.
Yeah, different things.
Although Virgin Galactic, not doing so well either.
I haven't seen any news since, you know, Richard Branson got to space-ish on his first flight. I think that's what killed him. You know, trying to redefine the boundary of space just so you could say you went to space is not really a good marketing plan when you're trying to sell trips to space.
Well, I think take it to its base level, I think the billionaires have blown their wads on their shooting up into space. We haven't heard anything from any of these companies after all the billionaires got up there. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of done. That was the business model. So.
Yeah. Yep. They kind of dried up the market on that one.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Meta has cut a bunch of jobs, as we've been talking about. They cut 21,000 jobs recently. And turns out people are getting upset because a lot of the people that were fired, go figure, customer service.
I'm sorry. They had customer service?
This is what I'm going to get to in a second. So they killed customer service for influencers, communities, and businesses. Whereas I say, just like you just said, they've never had customer service for communities and businesses.
I have given up trying to do anything on Facebook through businesses. I haven't done it for years because there was no point. Nothing ever worked. You sent messages into a void. You never got a response. It was completely useless.
Yeah. And just like it's about as useless as influencers are. And now influencers are upset that Meta's useless. So, you know, like I always say, you can't complain about getting wet when you build your house in someone else's backyard and they turn on the fucking sprinklers. Now, this comes down to this. I use the term really fucking loosely here. Katya Karlova. She says she's an Instagram. Katya Karlova.
Who? Russian tennis player? Model?
Nope.
No,
boob model.
Oh,
she's a curvy model.
Okay.
So I went, I found her page and I looked at it. It is just pictures of her boobs. That's all. It's her and her boobs. It's all it is.
Well, tale as old as time, Jason.
Yes. She is a boner influencer, as far as I can tell. Apparently, she's done some work in human trafficking and things like that. But she says this
working
is really
against
damn-
it. I hope you should probably clarify that. It.
True, I guess. Yeah.
She's brought some young Russians over to the U.S.
Could be. She says, this is really damaging. This is my brand, and I work really hard to build it to be something impactful and positive. And you're not building your brand if you're building it on someone else's platform.
Got a website, Carla?
Sorry. Gotcha. Yeah, she does. Gotcha. She actually does have a website.
Have you been driving people to it over the years to build up a mailing list so you actually own your own customers?
Guess not. Guess not. If she did, she wouldn't be bitching and moaning on CNBC.
Right. Well, at least she got on CNBC.
True.
The eyes are up here, folks.
Are you hungry? I am. Which means it's a perfect time to talk about Factor. Why not make your spring a breeze with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals? Picture this. Every meal is fresh, never frozen, crafted by top chefs, and has the dietitian's thumbs up. Plus, they're ready to roll in just 2 minutes. You've got 35 mouthwatering options to choose from each week. Whether you're into calorie smart, keto, ramping up your protein, or keeping it green with vegan and veggie, Factor's got you covered. And there's more. Each week brings over 60 extras, including breakfast, grab-and-go lunches, snacks, and drinks to keep your energy up and your taste buds happy all day. So, what's the holdup? Dive in today and give your spring the tasty kickstart it deserves. As someone who's lived off microwave meals for most of his life, I can confidently say that Factor's chef-crafted dishes blow anything else I've had out of the water. The chicken stays juicy, the veggies are crisp, and the flavors are absolutely delicious. I'm talking about meals like their artichoke and spinach chicken and the spicy poblano beef bowl. Out of this world. Are you craving a touch of gourmet? Well, check out the meals featuring luxury ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. It's fancy dining without the fuss. And speaking of no fuss, the meals are a total breeze. Forget about prepping, cooking, and cleaning. Just heat up your meal and enjoy the deliciousness. Plus, everything's tailored to fit your life. Customize your weekly meal plan to get exactly what you need whenever you need it. Need to pause or shift your deliveries? No problem. It's all designed to work around your schedule. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/grumpy50 and use code grumpy50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code grumpy50 at factormeals.com/grumpy50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. This episode is brought to you by Delete Me. Today, I want to share something personal and honestly a bit alarming. On this show, we often discuss the vast amount of personal info floating around out there. We're talking home addresses, contact details, and even information about your family. If you've ever felt that uneasy feeling about your privacy, you're definitely not alone. That's why I need to tell you about Delete Me. It's been a game changer for me in protecting my personal information. As someone who's been bombarded with spam calls and phishing attempts, discovering Delete Me was like finding a magic shield. Here's a really frustrating fact. The amount of personal data available online has tripled from 2019 to 2023. With rising political tensions, your political views could expose you to cybercrimes, identity theft, or even violence. Angry people, fueled by their beliefs, can access your data from data brokers that cover 98% of U.S. citizens, putting you at risk of harassment, identity theft, or worse. But there's good news. Delete Me works tirelessly to safeguard your data. They scour the internet, finding and removing your personal information from some of the largest data brokers in the world. And they don't just do it once, they continuously monitor to ensure your info stays private. I signed up and provided details on what I wanted removed, and the team at Delete Me took it from there. They keep me updated with regular reports, showing me where my information was popping up and confirming when it was deleted. Seeing their commitment to protecting my privacy has truly been a relief. Now, here's something special for all of you. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan today when you go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and use promo code GOG at checkout. The only way to get that 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/GOG. and enter code GOG at checkout. That's JOINDELETEME.com/GOG with code GOG at checkout. This episode is sponsored by Mood. 420 celebrations come in all shapes and sizes, just like the many ways to enjoy your THC. Mood offers just the right buzz with their federally legal flower, gummies, vapes, and more, helping you find the perfect high. Mood is offering our listeners a free THCA pre-roll and 20% off your first order. Just head over to HelloMood.com and use our exclusive code GOG. Mood's latest introduction, the THCA flower, is a game changer, offering the classic cannabis high with a twist. With 10 high-inducing strains, it's their most potent lineup yet. What's even better is that all Mood products are extracted from hemp, making them federally legal, and are regularly tested to ensure the highest quality. Sourced from small family farms, you're getting a product that's effective and pesticide-free. I tried several of their products, from the uplifting Energized to the mellow Chill, and I must say, each provided a unique, enjoyable high. My favorite? Definitely the Creative strain. It sparked an incredible flow of ideas and got me through my daily projects with ease. Whether you're new to THC or a seasoned aficionado, Mood has something for every vibe. Their in-house experts have tailored different strains to match specific moods, offering a range of products to suit any preference. From delectable gummies to classic flower and convenient pre-rolls, there's a multitude of ways to enjoy Mood's offerings. Celebrate 420 exactly how you want to with Mood. Get 20% off your first order, plus a free THCA pre-roll at HelloMood.com with promo code GOG. That's HelloMood.com. Code GOG. This episode is brought to you by Delete Me. Today, I want to share something personal and honestly a bit alarming. Now, on this show, we talk a lot about how much of our personal info is out there. We're talking about home addresses, contact details, and even information about your family. And if you've ever felt that uneasy feeling about your privacy, you're not alone. That's why I want to tell you about Delete Me. It's a game changer for protecting your personal information. As someone who's been through the ringer with spam calls and phishing attempts, finding Delete Me felt like a breath of fresh air. Could your potential views expose you to cybercrimes, identity theft, or even violence in this election year? The amount of personal data available online has tripled from 2019 to 2023. Angry individuals, motivated by their political beliefs, can now easily access personal details from data brokers for 98% of U.S. citizens, putting you at risk of harassment and identity theft. Fortunately, you can safeguard your data with Delete Me. Delete Me scours the internet, finding and removing you and your family's personal data from hundreds of data broker websites. And they don't just do it once, they monitor your information to ensure that it stays private. I signed up and provided the specifics on what I wanted to go, and the team at Delete Me took it from there. They keep me in the loop with regular updates, showing exactly where my info was popping up and confirming when it was removed. Seeing how dedicated they are to protecting my privacy is a relief. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now available at a special discount for our listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan today when you go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and use promo code GOG at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and enter code GOG at checkout. One more time, that's joindeleteme.com/GOG with code GOG at checkout.
Media Candy.
Little follow-up on the Where Are They Now problem that we discussed last time on all the shows that were disappearing from the streaming channels.
Yep.
Apparently, Roku is taking them with open arms.
And so an open checkbook.
Because I think they're getting these things for pennies on the dollar. Like, they picked up the Nevers, you know?
Yeah.
Something nobody wanted whatsoever.
Well, speaking of something nobody wants, Raised by Wolves.
Yep, they got that one too. The dredges of Westworld, Finding Magic Mike. Woo. And apparently Legendary is now on Roku as well. So okay. I worked with some of those people. So that's where everything has landed. So
All right, let's get on going somewhere.
Yeah. Let's get to the shows that we give a shit about now.
Okay.
Sure. Picard. Okay. I don't know if there might be a spoiler or two here. So
yep. Maybe. Not, okay. Yeah. Are we going to do spoiler? We can do spoilers. Sure. Why not?
We can do spoilers. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm fully on board with your advice, which is just enjoy it for the ride. Great moments. Everybody around sitting around the conference room gave me tingles.
Yep.
I'm even just like I'm beyond, and I don't even care about the fact that Data just cannot die.
I know.
He's unkillable. He will come back forever. So fine. I don't care. It was great. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'm only sad because obviously we are sliding into the end. We're almost done here.
Yeah, when you get rid of the main baddie, we're definitely getting to the end. But we got a nice F-bomb drop at the end, which was great.
F-bomb drop, and also I think the best part of the whole shebang was Worf just talking to Troy and Riker going, "What the fuck?"
Inappropriate.
So good.
That was really good.
It was awesome. I loved it.
No, it's coming. Hopefully they stick the landing, but so far.
I don't even care if they stick the landing or not at this point. I don't give a shit.
This is it, yeah. Everything was leading up to the last episode and them all in the conference room, you know?
Yeah, they could have cut it there and I would have been like, fine, great. I don't care what happens. So,
yep.
Yeah, we'll see. There's a big push online for Star Trek Legacy to come next, which will be all the kids on a ship together, and they'll appear every now and then giving advice. I'll take it. I don't care. I don't care anymore.
Okay.
It's fine.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
I watched the first two episodes of Succession. They're up to three now, right?
No, just two, I believe.
Okay, then I've only watched the first one, so I have not seen the second one yet. Very good. The problem I have with Succession is I like all types of humor, Jason, as you know, except for one. I like dark humor. I like dad humor. I like poop humor. I like everything except for cringe humor. I cannot watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. Something about it makes my skin crawl. I get fight or flight response. I just cannot handle it. Succession is about as close to the edge in cringe as I can get. It is uncomfortable, but I do like it.
Yeah, the second episode in the season, there's a scene with everybody together, and that actually gave me a little I hate to say this, I'm going to sound like a snowflake. I was actually mildly triggered by it. I get what you're saying. I can't watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, but I also can't watch The Office either. That kind of humor makes my skin crawl too.
Now, see, I was able to. I love the British Office. I never got into the U.S. Office. I don't know why. What the difference is? I guess I like cringe if it's British.
Yeah, must be.
I guess. Caught up with Ted Lasso. Absolutely loving it. I do hope this is the last season. Rumbles are being made online about it potentially not being. If people want more, no, stop it. Please.
Well, here's the deal. I'm sure they wrote it to be the last season, so I'm going to take this as the last season. You know, just like Westworld. I think that the penultimate episode of the final season, I'm closing that off in my head as the last episode because it was such a perfect ending.
Yeah, and me and Battlestar Galactica just not having an ending because they never wrote one, anyways.
Or Lost, or what was that other show that guy did where half the people went away or whatever, 10%? I don't know.
That Damon Lindelof, by the way.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
Yeah. The best news that came out, and I don't know if we're going to get to it because this has all been breaking, all the Star Trek news. We'll wait to see if Dave's caught up on it. We'll talk about it there, or it'll be next week. The best bit of news is that his fucking Star Wars movie got shit canned. Thank God.
I heard. Anyways. Oh, you know what we can use ChatGPT for? We can go back and rewrite the endings for all these shitty shows. Like, give me an ending for Battlestar Galactica that doesn't suck.
Oh, my God, I would read all of those. Somebody needs to start a wiki of it.
I'm on it. All right. Here we go.
There we go. Good endings to shows that had shit ones.
Yep.
That would be nice. Found a couple, one new podcast and one great episode of the podcast I've been listening to. The new one is the You're Dead to Me podcast, which is by the guy whose history books I've been reading, Greg Jenner. And these are short BBC Sounds, 20, 30 minute podcasts where he gets It seems to be a very British formula. You've got your gregarious host who kind of knows a little bit. You get an expert in the field of whatever you're talking about. And then you get a comedian who knows absolutely nothing about anything, but is supposed to be funny. And that's the format. And it works most of the time.
And that's the same format as Jim Jefferies' podcast.
Yep.
Exactly the same format.
That seems to be a very popular format, and that's exactly what he does. It's pretty good. Like, it depends, you know, you got to be into the subject matter, I suppose, and they tell you what it is, but it's worth a, I wouldn't listen to every single episode, but if there's something I'm into, I'll listen to it. And it's pretty good. I'm enjoying it.
Well, it looks like they've upped the time limit. Now they're an hour long.
Oh, okay. Some of them are longer. Yeah. I'm seeing that now too. Some of the episodes that I was listening to were like 20, 30 minutes, but yeah, I could see it stretching to an hour if it's an interesting subject.
I'll give a few a listen. I've done podcast bankruptcy recently and killed everything that I was listening to, so I'm starting from scratch. So it's a good
place.
Give
that one a go. Yep. You might want to add back in Curious Creatures, which is the podcast by Lowell Tolhurst, one of the founding members of The Cure, and Budgie, who played drums for Susie and the Banshees and The Creatures and all kinds of people, just goth luminaries. And they had Shirley Manson on. And you know I love a good Shirley Manson interview because, man, that girl can just talk about anything. There is zero filter and she's hilarious. And she's on the show with them. So it's an absolutely fun, fantastic episode. Good time.
You know, I love me some Shirley Manson too, so I'll be all over that.
Yeah.
And I mentioned The World's Greatest Con a couple episodes ago because mm-hmm. David never heard it. And I just wanted to say that the new season is coming very soon. As a Patreon subscriber and friend of Brian, I got a couple episodes a while back, but now I've got a couple more, and it is solid. It is really, really, really solid. So go sign up now. There's a link in the show notes. Get caught up from seasons one and two, and they're all separate. Season one is a whole standalone. Season two is a standalone, and season three will be a standalone as well. But it's fucking great. They do a great job with that show. Very happy it's back. Zane Lamprey has a new stand-up special on Amazon Prime for free called Tender Looks. And I know you're a Zane Lamprey fan.
Well,
did you get it? Did you?
I used to be a Zane Lamprey fan. You know what this actually made me do? It gave me cause to unsubscribe from his mailing list.
Yeah. Yeah. I did that. I did that when I stopped drinking the first time. Because it's just like, okay, I'm going to be at a bar telling jokes. I've seen Zane do stand-up in person before on his Drinking Made Easy tour. And he wasn't funny then as a stand-up, and he's not funny now as
a stand-up. He's not a good stand-up. Like, his show format was awesome for the time. Three Sheets to the Wind, I will stand by that and say I thoroughly enjoyed every episode when it was on the air. Since then, it's been diminishing returns, and he's not a good stand-up.
No, I mean, what's great, the show was actually not bad when it was just him telling stories about Three Sheets and traveling and all that stuff. When he tried to tell a joke, it fell so flat and it was so painful. And I'm just like, okay, I made it 20 minutes and I had to turn it off. I felt so bad. I'm just like, oh. But yeah.
Sometimes, I mean, Jason, you just move on. And that's
just
okay.
Move on. Yep. And I started to watch Lucky Hank, the new Bob Odenkirk vehicle.
Oh, I've heard good things about that.
I have. Here's the deal. I made it longer with Zane Lamprey than I did with Lucky Hank.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. It didn't land for me. I'm going to give it another shot. I think it's up to episode four this week. But just the lack of press around it, I just found out about it randomly that it was out on some DirecTV interstitial ad that they started putting up when you hit pause now. And I'm like, oh, that's out. And I think it's got a 6.7 on IMDb. I didn't look at the Rotten Tomatoes on it, but
well, I still haven't caught up with the end of Better Call Saul. So I've got some stuff to catch up on, and I'll just see if Lucky Hank gets unlucky and gets
I'd wait a little bit on that one, but you got to finish Saul, man. I want to hear what you think.
You know, it's one of those ones I can't watch without the wife, so we're trying to schedule all that in, and we're also trying to figure out where the F it is. Like, I'm trying to find it streaming where I don't have to pay for it.
BitTorrent.
Yeah, well, it might be that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's because that's what I thought. We had a row at the house because I thought it totally stuck the landing, and my roommate thought it definitely did not come anywhere close. She thought it BSG'd. But I loved it. I loved the ending of Better Call Saul. But after the failure of Zane and Lucky Hank, I'm like, man, I just want some good sci-fi. And I was thinking of the stuff that I really, really liked recently. that I could go back and watch. So I'm going back and rewatching Altered Carbon season one.
You do remember season two, right?
Season two was just unmitigated shit show. It was terrible. But Altered Carbon season one, I thought was really, really good.
It was. It was fantastic.
Yeah. So I just finished episode one and now I'm remembering why it was so good. So I'm definitely doing that. And the show Travelers. I really, really, really liked that show. I thought they did a really good job with it. And I thought it made it all the way to the end and tied itself up kind of nicely on season three.
I watched the first episode and it didn't grab me.
Yeah, it takes a little bit because it's kind of confusing. It takes a couple episodes to get into it and get the entire story and kind of put it all together. But once it comes together, it comes together. Mm-hmm. It really does. I really, really love that show. And if you happen to be in Vegas, there's a punk rock museum. Probably not up your alley, but
I would go.
It just opened on April 1st. So I would definitely check it out. There's a link in the show notes. It looks like they've got some decent stuff. And the cool thing about it is you can see who's giving the tours that day. And it's like punk rock royalty, you know, the people who are there actually giving you the walkthroughs. So I really would, if I ever go back to Vegas, which I'm pretty sure I'm not going to do, kind of not the town for me anymore.
No.
Not because I'm just not drinking, but just because I'm sick of fucking Vegas. I haven't had fun in Vegas since I was in my, 20s or early 30s at the most. So it's been a good 20 years since I've had fun in Vegas. So, but
you got to learn to have a different kind of fun. I enjoy it when I go with my wife quite a bit. But, you know, We just spend an insane amount of money on a ridiculous meal made by, you know, top chefs and all that sort of stuff and then float in the pool all day. It's fine.
Well, that's one way to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. I've got a story that shocked me yesterday because this is a band that I've loved forever, which is kind of funny because it's the 30th anniversary of Forever and they are going to play a show one-off in London, which is killing me because I won't be going to celebrate the fact with the original lineup. They haven't, I don't think they've done anything since the late 90s.
We should mention the band is the Cranes.
Oh, the band is the Cranes. yes,
you're talking about there. The Cranes.
Yes. Well, nobody knows them. Like I'm convinced this is one of the bands that like I'm the only person that is aware of. Love this band. Love them. I love all of their albums. And I can't believe they're actually getting back together and only doing it once. Hopefully this will lead to a bigger tour of some sort, but I somehow doubt it. If you're one of the people on Discord that liked my last two, the new bands that I mentioned the other week, you need to go back and find the Cranes. You will love them.
Oh, yes. No. Did you ever see the Cranes?
Oh, yes. Many times. Yeah.
Okay. I only saw them once, but it was at the Metro in Chicago. And in the 90s, and man, was it great. I just love the Cranes.
God,
that's one of those bands that's just like, you know, up there in my pantheon of fantastic bands nobody's ever heard of.
Yes, they are. Sure. They are that band for sure.
Yeah, for sure. We did highlight the How to Write a Smith Song in 1 minute.
Yep.
And a couple weeks ago,
and
which
someone's
was a
making a
video.
Go of this.
friend of the show, Bob, shot me a note on Discord that the guy had written How to Write a Bauhaus Song in 1 minute. And then I'm like, okay, wait, let me go out to his whole channel and take a peek. And like, oh, yeah, he's got a whole suite of these things.
Yep.
But he did Bauhaus and Depeche Mode. Both of those are in the show notes and he nailed it on both of them, I thought.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
No, he's not wrong.
Yep.
Ups and doodads.
All right. So I've never used Google Drive, but apparently they stepped on it again. This seems to be Google's main operation these days is stepping on it. They removed a 5 million file creation cap for Drive because they got a massive backlash for implementing it without telling anyone.
Yeah, that would really screw people up.
Now you think 5 million files. Boy, that's a lot of files. Who would create more than 5 million files? Well, when you've got 30 terabytes of storage available at their highest tier and you're paying for it, and you've got a bunch of small files, which you probably do, you can easily hit that number. And a lot of people did.
Yeah, I'm actually – if I would have put everything I have over on my 3 terabytes of storage on Google Drive that I have right now, it would have hit that easily. Because, I mean, hell, my font library alone probably would have hit that.
Yeah.
They
implemented this to preserve stability and optimize performance, and then they quickly unimplemented it because, yes, it actually pitchforks came out. People. Yes.
Yeah. Seriously, if I'm paying for it, don't give me a fucking cap. I'm paying for space. That's it. If I'm giving you money for 30 terabytes, then, you know, it doesn't matter how many files I put on. I give you 1K files or 1 byte files. Suck it up and deal with it.
That's what I'm paying for.
Yep. And this little Easter egg was making its way around that I thought was pretty funny. There's apparently a copy of the Bitcoin white paper hidden in your image capture program if you have a Mac.
Okay.
So there's it's just one of those things that people put in there for testing or whatever, and somebody left it. And everybody's like, oh, why is it in there? Is it a secret message? Is it, you know, is Apple going to do that? It's like, no, programmer got bored.
No.
That's it.
Yeah.
We get bored.
That's why there's Dogecoin on Twitter.
Yeah. You saw that it tanked again as soon as the dog came off.
Whatever. I'm fucking so sick of Elon. I'm so sick of him.
I've mentioned the Apple Watch timers on the show many times because I was so happy when you got multiple timers.
Yes.
I thought that was the greatest thing. The thing that pisses me off the most is that you can't yell at Siri to turn off the timer. One of the, you know, the greatest annoyances. There's no prompt that you can engineer to make Siri shut the hell up when it comes to the timer on your watch. And it's sitting there vibrating and you're trying to get to it. You're doing stuff and it's like, shut up. Then you got to find the little thing. So I don't know where I found this, but there's a simple little hack to turn off the damn thing. Just slap your hand over it.
Works?
It's called like cover to stop, I think. That's it.
Well,
so if you slap it real fast and put your hand over it, it'll turn off.
So like, basically, it's always had a solution. There's just been no documentation.
None whatsoever.
The Dark Side. Ha! With Dave.
Welcome to the segment formerly known as Security. Ha! We're joined, as always, by Dave Bittner. Dave is the host of the CyberWire podcast for all your cybersecurity news, the co-host of Hacking Humans with Joe Kerrigan, discussing how humans are mean, the co-host of Caveat with Ben Yellen, because people are nosy, and the co-host of Control Loop, because industrial machines have feelings too. Welcome, Dave.
That is the best introduction of the range of shows that I'm on that I think I've ever heard.
I
certified 100%
that.
Human, by the way.
Okay.
That one I wrote.
All right. Well, there you go. Huh. See, that's why. That's why it's so good. Yeah. Good to be
all
back.
Right. We all caught up on Mando?
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Oh. What?
Oh.
Okay.
A little too much stunt casting for me. I have always complained about my biggest complaint about Elvis. Tom Hanks took me out of the movie.
Oh.
Jack Black. I love Jack Black. I love him.
I
love
do too.
Tenacious D. I love comedies that he's in. But Jack Black is Jack Black in anything that he is. And Jack Black took me out of The Mandalorian.
Okay.
Christopher Guest or... Perfect. Fine. I was like, who is that? I know that guy. He's very familiar.
Yeah.
Now, if he looked like Doc Brown, that would have confused me. And I would have taken out of it.
My son said, is that Doc Brown? I said, yes, it is.
Yeah, it's Christopher Lloyd, not Christopher Guest, by the way.
Oh, sorry. Christopher Lloyd. Yes. But Jack Black and Lizzo, it's stunt casting gone awry, like a little bit too much for me. Like I get what they were going for. It was a fun, lilting, quick little episode, self-contained, very clever, very funny. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. But still no Jack. I don't need Jack Black in my Star Wars.
Okay, you know, I was excited by it because I also am a Jack Black super fan. Mm-hmm. Didn't bother me at all. I'm like, okay, you know, look, he's riding with Starbuck. Okay, come on. I can't – whatever. I'm all good with it.
I thought that to me it was that I did not know that Jack Black and Lizzo are the Hollywood power couple we all need.
Yeah, true.
Right?
I mean, I think they should be given their own show. Don't get me wrong.
Okay. Very good. Very good. I will add that I saw the Super Mario's Brother movie last night, which Jack Black is in. He plays Bowser.
So you got Jack Black playing Jack Black in Mario Brothers movie.
Yes.
Okay.
He is.
Yeah.
But it works.
Okay. Yes, I can see it working in that movie. Yes.
He actually does a little Tenacious D as Bowser, and it works. The Super Mario movie is a fun romp, a light movie, nothing more than that. Go into it with those expectations, and I think you'll enjoy it. My sense is that... because my son is a big Mario player, there's a ton of Easter eggs in that movie that just went over my head, but he had a great time with it. So
Excellent. Yeah, I think it's a bit too early for me to see this movie because Lucas, my son, is just kind of teetering on the edge of figuring out what games are, and he hasn't played Mario Brothers yet, but I see this in my future for sure on Netflix or wherever it will be streaming.
Right.
Yeah. So we're getting a lot of Star Wars news. The big thing is going on in London right now. It's the timing hasn't worked out well for me to really be too up to date on this, but I do bring a couple things to the table here that I'm aware of. They have announced a new movie scheme. So they are not following your lead, Dave, and sticking just with TV shows. They have boldly decided to go ahead and do movies. I'm happy to hear that they're all standalones. They're not announcing any epic three movie series or anything. And distinct timelines. We are getting a Dawn of the Jedi movie directed by James Mangold, who did Logan. And this will be 25,000 years before The Phantom Menace. And it's when they discover the Force. We are getting a Dave Filoni-helmed Mandalorian-era movie, which will, I guess, tie up. I guess all the shows will be leading up to a tie-up that will occur in a movie. So,
yeah.
We'll see.
It's a way to get $20 out of each of us.
Yeah, exactly.
Already. Right?
Because that Disney Plus subscription wasn't enough.
Aren't enough. Yeah.
Yes. And we've heard that Daisy Ridley is coming back as Rey, who will now be a Jedi Master. It will take place 15 years after the last of the last trilogy movies. So three movies. We'll see.
All right.
And I did get to see the Osaka trailer, and wow, that looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Not a Jack Black in sight.
No, the Osaka trailer seems to me to be more grown-up Star Wars, which I'm here for.
Yes, yeah. Me too. So.
Yeah. Also, they dropped a new trailer for Indy. Did you see that?
No, I will be watching that as soon as we're done.
Yes, so the official, I guess, first full-length trailer for the new Indy movie is out. Mm-hmm. And, this is another movie I will go see because it's indie, and I love indie.
Yes.
Interesting trailer that sort of sets the scene of an indie that perhaps time has passed by, and his I guess his goddaughter comes and gets involved, and there's time travel, it seems, and so on and so forth. But
oh, great!
Hey, it's indie.
Yeah, there's definitely time travel because I've seen some of the de-ageification work done on Harrison Ford, and I gotta say, well, I mean, they have more money than God, so of course it looks great. It looks fantastic.
Yeah. And they know exactly what Harrison Ford looks like as Indy, as a younger man. So right, they have
good source material.
Oh, speaking of that sort of thing, I did see this as a passing headline. I didn't even think to throw it in the show. Katie Sackhoff signed off on the rights to Disney for them to be able to use her voice after she passes in perpetuity for Disney to continue the character. If they
cash out while you can, baby, cash out while you can.
Yeah,
I guess so.
Yeah,
why not?
Why not? Right?
Huh. I suppose that's going to be the hot new thing in entertainment contracts, I suspect first thing they'll do is try to sneak it in the fine print.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah.
Rely. You want the role, don't you? Well, then you got to sign this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Interesting. That's the first I've heard of that sort of thing. But
yeah, me too.
It's
certainly for any kind of some of it's been in gaming for for a little bit, but this is the first I've heard of any kind of like, you know, actual studio actor kind of thing. So, of course,
you know,
it would go to Disney.
Yeah. Actually, I heard just yesterday, same sort of thing. I saw a passing headline, but I didn't read the story that Iman has licensed David Bowie's voice. All I saw was the headline, so I'm totally talking out of my ass here, but that's never stopped me in the past. That to do like audiobooks.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there's another example of that.
Right.
Audiobooks. Right. That's an interesting switcheroo.
Well, I mean, thank God we're not getting trailer or commercials for Skittles from David Bowie. Like, at least it's.
Well, here's the thing. Could you sample David Bowie, use it for your Skittles commercial, and just not say who it is?
Well, right? That is the tech move fast and break things credo. We'll see.
Yeah.
But just move fast.
Shifted
and get
a little bit. And
I'm not sure I would pick David Bowie because you will get sued by a very large organization.
If you get caught.
If you get caught. Yes.
I mean, I think about how many commercials we've all heard over the years where they rang up Central Casting and said, get me someone who sounds like Morgan Freeman, or get me someone that sounds like James Earl Jones. And so how close can you get before you cross the line?
Right.
Pretty damn close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as it's not them.
Well, and you don't need to ring up Central Casting anymore. You could probably just do a little bit of a tweak on a setting, you know, train it on David Bowie and then, demodulate it X amount.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just like pitch shift it half a tone or something.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Easy.
Right. Right. Yeah. Add some little random elements to the cadence and make it just different enough.
Yep.
Interesting.
Well, I'm going to skip on the indie trailer. I'm just going to wait for the movie. I'm going to try to at least.
I can respect that.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't want to. I don't want to nuke my own fridge, as it were.
Right.
Now, just a little bit of privacy news here, security news. I know we're in the dark side, so we'll keep this short. I saw this come through from CTV News. Good old Canada coming through here. Say, don't tell anything to a chatbot you want to keep private. Mm-hmm. Now, it's sad that we have to say this to people, but yeah, duh. The thing about ChatGPT is that, it's new. We've already had security problems with them when people log in and they get somebody else's complete chat stream. And so, it's not really job one over there right now. And don't say anything on the internet you don't want anybody else to know about, as Eric Schmidt would say. But yeah, the thing about this, though, is this is a creative tool. So people are going to be saying some crazy shit in there.
Yeah.
And, hopefully they're not going to hold it against anybody, because if you're writing a book about terrorists and you're asking terroristy things, do they come and, slap the bracelets on you?
Yeah. There's been a couple stories sort of along these lines that I've seen this week. One of them was about it was a professor at a college. Yeah. Did you see that one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot to put that in the notes. Yeah, it's basically the first libel case or slander case.
Yeah,
I forget.
Yeah. So someone asked ChatGPT about to name some professors that had issues with conduct and
inappropriate.
It came
touching.
Back and and it said that this professor had inappropriate touching with students. And it even referenced a story in the Washington Post. And none of that was true. There was no story in the Washington Post, and this professor had never been accused of anything. So
comes back to fact-checking as a service for these
right.
prompt engineers.
Yeah.
Right. The other one I saw was there were a bunch of folks at Samsung who got their wrists slapped because they had been loading things into ChatGPT that were proprietary company information.
Oops.
And I can't remember if someone was able to pull it out or whatever, but I think that's inevitable. One thing I did see was that if you go to the web interface of ChatGPT, there is a way to opt out of having your information become part of the corpus. There is a privacy setting to have it not do that, and everybody should do that. but you have to opt out. The default is to opt in.
Yeah.
On the ChatGPT API, it's the opposite. You're opted out unless you opt in. So good to know.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm at the web settings page here, and I cannot find that anywhere. So,
well, they tend not to put those front and center, do they?
Yeah, we have to go to the help notes somewhere, but it is definitely not an easy to find option.
Well, in addition to not telling an open system anything you want to keep private, you might want to not even tell. Oh, I don't know, some apps that probably have their entire business model revolving around the fact that you're supposed to be kept private. You may not want to tell them either. Online alcohol recovery startups Monument and Tempest got caught sharing confidential user data with advertisers without consent. Oopsies. Nope. An internal review revealed a data breach impacting 100,000 users, forcing the companies to issue a formal disclosure to the user base. The violations started in 2017 and were ongoing until just last month. Now, parent company Monument, which has purchased Tempest, they used to be separate, but now This one company owns both, shared private information with advertisers via notification. Data included without user consent, included patients' names, date of birth, email addresses, postal addresses, phone numbers, insurance information, and more.
Oh, shit.
Ooh. Yeah, including alcohol consumption data.
Yes, they also shared data related to appointment information, assessment information, and survey responses, which included how much booze they were drinking. But they want you to know they are committed to privacy and said that their survey responses are protected, even though it's obvious they weren't. They're, of course, blaming third-party tracking systems for the issue, stating that they have removed the offending tracking codes from their website. That does not really explain how this data got shared just through a tracking pixel, but, you know, there you go.
Oopsies. Yeah.
Good job, guys. Good job.
Just despicable. Absolutely yeah. despicable.
Yeah, I mean,
these people at their most vulnerable.
Yeah, these things are supposed to be there to help people, to serve as private and confidential things that are supposed to be very good for us and people in their time of need. And what the fuck are these people doing?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand.
Yeah.
No, well, it depends on what you define their job as. If their job is to make money, I suppose they're doing their job.
Right.
Well, not after they get the fines for all these yeah. problems. Gotta
and I hope they do.
Yeah, me too.
I'm actually part of a recovery app called I Am Sober. But mm-hmm. the thing about this app is it's even got community built into it. So out of the gate, it's, you know, it
you
says
know it's
that
not anonymous or private.
It's not anonymous or private. So they're at least doing it right. So you can mm-hmm. actually, you know, talk to each other because that's, you know, part of recovery is talking to people. So that part I can see. So that one got breached on you. But these guys are actual, you know, recovery. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. So caveat emptor. But if you are trying to quit and you want a decent community, check out the I Am Sober app. It's not bad.
Hmm. Huh? There is a related article here that I saw this week. And this is a woman who, in the course of having a child, was very deliberate about opting out of any sort of sharing of her information at her doctor's office. And I just want to back up a minute here and say that the medical organization, the giant medical company that this doctor's office used for intake. So mm-hmm. the forms you fill out when you go to the doctor is an organization called Frisia. And as part of their intake, in the fine print, is the ability to take the information you use in your intake for advertisers. Again,
that should be illegal.
Despicable.
Yeah.
A medical intake form. Someone has decided we're going to make a few bucks and secretly opt you in, you know, not make it obvious that we're opting you in to do targeted advertising based on your medical intake forms.
Yeah.
And to me, this is why we need a federal privacy law. It's out of control.
It is out of control.
Absolutely out of control.
Yeah.
We need the internet police. 10 years on, we're still saying it. They're still not here.
Yeah. Well, and the woman in this article did the work. She was, as I say, meticulous about this. And when she discovered that her data had been shared, she did the work after the fact with the companies to say, show me where you got my permission to do this.
Right.
And eventually they admitted that they could not.
And they just did it anyways.
And I wish there were a way to throw the book at these folks who are so fast and loose with our private information, particularly our medical information.
I'm sure the whole system was built with the idea that there is absolutely no way that anybody is going to go through all of this to opt out. So why even bother having that built in?
Right. Right. It's all dark patterns. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. It's just horrible. In other security news, ransomware hackers have leaked the second batch of city data from Oakland. The city has confirmed that Play, the hacker group claiming responsibility for it, has shared a second batch of info on the dark web. Officials aren't sharing more details, but journalists are. Sources say the dump was 600 gigabytes and included confidential Oakland Police Department files, including disciplinary records, council members' communications, and city staff medical records. The first batch was only 10 gigabytes, so this is a lot more going on. The Oakland police are pissed because if anybody goes through that, they're probably going to find that the Oakland police have been doing some things they shouldn't have been doing. And they are now demanding $25,000 per officer for the damage done through the leak. Well, who are they going to get that from?
Well, doesn't this strike – I mean, doesn't this strike you as being a bit of a shakedown?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, $25,000 per officer from the police union? Mm-hmm. Come on, gang. Yeah. Ugh.
By the way, aren't the police supposed to be the ones that are stopping these sorts of things from happening? And obviously not. I mean, you know, cybercrime isn't really in their purview, but still, you're the police. It's a crime. You want money for the crime?
There are things that come with the job.
Yeah.
Well, in good news.
Yes, in good news. TechCrunch has reported that the FBI has seized the Genesis Market, a major marketplace for stolen logins, as part of an international campaign dubbed Operation Cookie Monster. Authorities have arrested roughly 120 people worldwide as part of the bust, including 19 people in the UK. Beyond the US and the UK, the campaign included agencies from Australia, Canada, Denmark, Sweden, and European countries like Germany and Poland. So this market was founded in 2018 and sold logins, cookies, and browser fingerprints taken from breached systems. Now, this is pretty great. Not only could hackers sign into accounts that they've created, but they could impersonate web browsers to access those accounts without needing a password or two-factor authentication tokens. And they got up-to-the-minute data from victims, a valuable resource for hackers that sometimes have to settle for old and sometimes useless data. I would argue they should probably just become an insurance company or a healthcare company, and they can get all that data immediately. Yeah.
Yeah.
Much easier. So,
I had an interesting conversation about this story with Tim Starks from the Washington Post's Cybersecurity 202 column. He publishes that daily. He did an interview with someone from the DOJ, and it was about their focus on disruption, that they're not just waiting for things to happen. They're actually looking for opportunities to go in here with this sort of thing, get in there with their international partners and shut stuff down. And I think we're seeing an accelerated pace of that. And I think that's good.
Yeah, me too. This is great. So more of it, please. I guess we're getting those international police one way or another. So they're all working together, which is great. So more of it, please. Shut them all down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make it so it's not worth doing business.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's all I got.
Okay, I got to go watch an Indiana Jones trailer now.
Yep. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, I'm going to go watch it again.
Oh, maybe I'll watch it. Damn.
You sounded like Cookie Monster there, Jason.
Cookie.
Nom, nom, nom,
nom. Closing shout outs.
Over at Patreon, we've got Leif, M, Ryan, Stefan, Sean, and Alexander. And I don't know if it is Leif or Leif. It can go either way, depending
usually
it's on
Leif. But
well, Leif Erickson, Leif Garrett,
that's true.
Goes back and forth. So
all right.
Either way, thank you for joining us on Patreon.
All right. And over at PayPal, we've got Nicola, Thomas, Nikolai, Benjamin, and Christopher, who gave us a big $50. Now, I don't know if it's Thomas or Tomas.
Oh, Tomas. Could be Tomas. Well, over on the tip jar, we've got Mario, Linda, Christopher, and Matthew.
What are you doing, an ad for the Mario Brothers movie there?
Mario. It's me, a Mario. I'm Italian. I can get away with that shit.
Yeah, you keep telling yourself that.
I do.
We got a new review, Jason. 2 stars.
Woo! Oh,
and
I love it.
I can tell you why just from the from the name the person put in. God believer, loves science.
Oh, yeah.
The name says it all. Well, that also applies to your name. Great podcast if you want to be in a negative state of mind.
It's
called
on the fucking
Grumpy
tin.
Old Geeks.
It's on the fucking tin.
Are you...
Oh, God.
I don't know. Nobody reads.
Nobody reads. Nobody reads anything. The manual is embedded right there on the cover. Come on. Oh, well.
Anyways, sad news came out this week. Sire Records' Seymour Stein, whose musical taste shaped a generation, passed away this week. He was not young, but basically my entire teenage years and my adult music taste are basically because of him. He signed everybody.
Yep.
He signed Madonna. He signed the Talking Heads. He signed the Ramones. He helped bring the Smiths, Depeche Mode, Echo, the Bunnymen, and the Cure to the U.S. I mean, my entire musical. Do you remember the Just Say Yes compilations, the CD samplers?
Yep.
Yep. That's him. He did those.
Yeah. He was 80 years old. And it's funny. I was actually, we were in talks to do a podcast with him last year.
Oh, man, that would have been great. I would have listened to that.
Yep, yep. The problem basically came down to all the good stories you couldn't tell. So,
yeah. God, I hope there's a book sitting somewhere in a desk drawer that somebody's going to find.
Well, he's got a book, but it's not.
But I hope that other book is sitting in a desk drawer somewhere.
Yeah, the real book.
So we have a link in the show notes where just basically everybody that was everybody is shouting out, giving him shout outs. So it's pretty, we lost a legend, basically. Yep. Until next time, I'm Brian Schulmeister.
And I'm Jason DeFilippo. It's me, Jason DeFilippo.
Lean into it, Jason.
I'm leaning into it. Thanks for listening to Grumpy Old Geeks. If you enjoy the show, visit gog.show/donate to help us keep the lights on.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie.
Oh, that's a grumpy.
That's a grumpy.
You can also help us out by sharing the show with your friends and enemies, probably more your enemies nowadays. It's easy and absolutely free. Show notes for this episode are at gog.show/596. From there, you can find links to everything we talked about in this episode, as well as links to our swag and Discord channel if you want to buy some stuff or chat with us and other show fans. You can also head over to gog.show/contact and send us your feedback or questions that we can read on the air. And if you're so inclined, please head over to gog.show/review and toss us a snarky review and preferably 5 stars. Stay a grumpy.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.